All right, good afternoon, everyone. I am going to call this meeting to order. This is the May 18th, 2022 meeting of the Chelan County Hearing Examiner. My name is Andy Kottkamp, and I've been appointed by the Chelan County Board of Commissioners to serve as a land use hearing examiner, and my job is to render decisions on various applications that are authorized to come before me, which include appeals of administrative decisions, variances, and conditional use permits. That's what we have on the agenda for today. Now, I consider any testimony and evidence presented at today's hearing, as well as all the written materials that are already on file, in order to make my decision. Now, the hearing process does have certain rules, but I still try to conduct the meetings in a relaxed and informal manner. But we still have a procedure that we're going to use. First of all, for each item that we will take separately, staff will present their report to make whatever recommendation that they wish to make. Then the applicant or the appellant will be given an opportunity to present their testimony and evidence. The appellant in the administrative appeal has the burden to demonstrate that the administrative decision was incorrect. On the variance and conditional use permit, those applicants have the burden to show compliance with all the applicable rules and regulations. After the applicant's presentation, again, I'll go back to the appeal. The appeal is between the county and the appellant. There will not be general public testimony in that matter. This is a matter where the county has made a decision based upon facts that the county had at the time that it made its decision, and the appellant has appealed that decision. So there's no general public testimony in that matter. For the variance and the conditional use permit, there will be, after the applicant's presentation, an opportunity for the public to present their testimony and evidence. And if there is any testimony in opposition to the project, I will give the applicant an opportunity to submit whatever rebuttal testimony they wish to make. Because the applicant has the burden of proof, the applicant has the opportunity to submit the last rebuttal evidence. Now, if you are going to testify, I am going to go through the list. I have a list here of everybody that's here. I'll go through it and see if you want to testify on the matter that we're talking about. Or if you don't, you can say, no, I'm testifying on the last matter, and we'll just move on from there. We'll go through the list that way. If you are going to testify, I will have you state your name and address, and then I'll swear you in as a witness. I'd ask that you keep your testimony relevant to the specific application that we're talking about and not to other issues beyond the scope of that proposal. If you do have something in writing prepared today, we can make those arrangements to have that submitted into the record. I have the option following this hearing to keep the record open if I think there's a need for additional written testimony to be submitted. But in any event, my written decision will be made within 10 working days after I close the public record. Now, except as provided by the Chelan County Code regarding requests for reconsideration and requests to reopen the hearing, my decision on all three of these matters that are on the agenda today will be final and conclusive unless they are appealed. All of the matters may be appealed by means of what's called a land use petition action that has to be filed with Chelan County Superior Court within 21 days of the date of the issuance of my decision. And if the appeal is not timely filed, the appeal will be barred. The bottom line is that if you're considering an appeal of any of my decisions, you really should seek immediate legal advice. I reviewed all the items on today's agenda. I don't have any interest in the properties or the proposals to be heard today. I'll be able to fairly and objectively consider each item. And then outside of receiving and reviewing for each item, the staff report, the application materials, the noticing documents, agency comments that have come through, public comments that have come through, SEPA documents that have been submitted, other than receiving and reviewing essentially the entire planning staff file, I've not had any communication regarding any of the items that are on today's agenda. Yes. So Ms. Romick, could you please mute yourself? Thank you. So with those representations, if there is anybody here today who objects to my participation as the hearing examiner, you need to unmute yourself and state so at this time. All right, hearing none, we'll turn to the first item on today's agenda. As I indicated, this is an administrative appeal.
Hello, so can you hear me?
Yes, we're in the middle of the hearing. Could you please mute yourself? Can you mute yourself? So this is application AA 22-184. This is a request for an administrative appeal regarding the denial of a short-term rental permit as an existing non-conforming short-term rental. This relates to property located within Chelan County that is more specifically described in the staff report as well as in the application materials. Now, for the record, I will admit into the record that staff report, all the attachments to the staff report, which included all the application materials, all the noticing documents that have come through, the appeal materials, the materials that were relied upon by Chelan County in denying the application. I'll admit those items. Indeed, I'll admit the entire planning staff file into the record at this time by this reference. And we will turn this matter over to Ms. Riles for the staff presentation.
Thank you. So on December 1st, 2021, we received application materials for a tier one owner-occupied short-term rental via email. Property in question is at 124 Wapato Way in Manson, Washington, 98831. April 6th, a letter of denial was sent to the applicant based on the fact that the secondary building on the parcel was permitted as a storage building, then converted into an accessory dwelling unit, which are now which are not allowed in the downtown commercial zone in the Manson UGA. The applicant states in his appeal application letter that a caretaker dwelling cot is allowed on the Manson CD zone. This is true, but that is not what that building was permitted for. The applicant further states that the dwelling has been used as a rental for 35 years. It was not permitted to be this. Further, if it were used as a short-term vacation rental, there's no record of this property ever having the required vacation rental permit for the Manson UGA. April 12th, Administrative Appeal AA22-184 was filed with Chelan County with the associated fees. And the applicant was told by the department that he would be willing to welcome to reapply when and if his application to convert his secondary structure to a caretaker dwelling was approved. So the staff recommends that the denial be upheld based on the applicant not qualifying for the status based on Chelan County Code 1188-290.
All right, thank you. I believe the appellant is here, sir. Are you ready to proceed?
Yes, I am.
All right, what I'll have you do is state your name and your address, and then I'm going to swear you in as a witness, all right?
Yep, name is Robert Meisner. Address is 124 Wapato Way, Manson, Washington, 98831.
All right, Mr. Meisner, would you raise your right hand for me, and do you swear or affirm under penalty of perjury that any testimony you give today will be the truth?
I do.
Thank you very much. And sir, what would you like to tell me about this story?
So when my wife and I purchased this property, one of the earlier things that we did, and it was actually back in August, we did a public records request to find out what kind of permits had been applied for or if there were any permits for the property. And that was done in July 31st. And it came back, there were no permits. So all we could do was make the assumption that there were no permits on file, and it wasn't, you know, we weren't basically sure how to proceed. So I contacted the assessor, and she provided the records that had shown that it had been inspected every time it had been inspected, essentially there was people living in it. So then I asked, there was no address on the building though. So then I asked the assessor, Catherine, I believe her name was, how we would proceed, like what would we need to do to move forward, because I want to make sure, basically before we applied for a short-term rental permit, I wanted to make sure we had all of our ducks in a row, you know, because we didn't want to miss a summer season of being able to rent the property. So we were trying to have everything ready. And Catherine advised me to talk to Public Works about making sure it was addressed properly. So I talked to Lori Biedler, I think is how you say her name. And she provided me the information so we could have the property properly addressed, which we did. We received that letter from her. And at that point in time, I wasn't familiar with the whole process, especially with the new short-term rental codes and so much going on there. I thought that we had met all the requirements. And when we applied for the short-term rental permit at that point in time in December, you know, we had, I thought we had everything totally ready and taken care of. So when I received the denial letter, one of the things that they had said, and Kristen actually just brought that up, that ADUs are not allowed, but essentially it's a CDU, it's just a different acronym, is allowed. So I immediately went to work to find out what we needed to do to be in compliance. Cause that's, you know, we're trying to, you know, this is an investment for my wife and I to help us pay for the property, for the purchase. And the idea is to be able to try to rent it during some of the summer season, just the one house. There's two on the property. But essentially, I believe it was Luis had said that we needed to contact the building department about getting a building permit for this structure and have it inspected. So we applied for the building permit, which I have a copy of the building permit, permit number BP220282. And we received that building permit and had it inspected on the 4th, which was approved. So it is a legal structure now, or a what's the word? A conforming structure. So everything is conforming. We're trying to essentially just the reason we were denied was because the building was non-conforming, and it also said that the structures weren't allowed, but they are allowed, different acronym, and now it is conforming. So we're hoping we can just move forward and get our permits so we can, you know, be in compliance. We're trying to do everything the right way.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Mr. Meisner. Is there anything else that you'd like to add or any other witnesses you'd like to call?
I don't think so. I think we're good. So one quick thing too. I don't know if it's important or not. Actually, it's probably, I'll just state it. So one of the requirements to get the permit was we needed to get a letter of water availability, and we needed to go through Public Works and make sure that the driveway and everything all met standards. And that, obviously, I guess we wouldn't have gotten the permit unless it did. But so we had to pay a $7,000 additional connection fee for the ADU to Lake Chelan Reclamation, which we did do. And so we provided that letter along with the letter from Public Works that affirmed that we were in compliance with the driveway and everything. So it should all meet standards now.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much, Mr. Meisner.
Thank you.
Appreciate your careful and prepared presentation.
Thank you.
Is there anything further from staff?
No, thank you.
Just to confirm, in this urban growth area, is a short-term rental allowed in this particular zoned UGA?
It is, yes.
Okay, thank you very much. With that question, is there anything else, Mr. Meisner, that you'd like to add?
No.
Okay, thank you very much. With that, I'm going to close the public record portion of this hearing. Mr. Meisner, I'll have a written decision made for you in the next 10 working days. Okay?
Okay, thank you, sir.
You're welcome. I'll turn to the second item on today's agenda. This is a conditional use permit application. It's given application number CUP 21-291. This is an application that's been submitted by Mark Reimer for the development of 3 dispersed campsites on property located within Chelan County that is more specifically described in the staff report as well as in the application materials. Now, for the record, I will admit into the record that staff report that's been prepared. I'll admit all the attachments, which included all the application materials that have come through, all the agency and multiple public comments that have come through, including a comment that I received just recently, just a comment that I received today from a Jason Reiner. That's admitted into the record. We have a fire marshal comment through an email, April 11, 2022, from Mr. Plum. That's admitted into the record. I'll admit all those items. Indeed, I will admit the entire planning staff file into the record at this time by this reference, and we'll turn this matter over to Mr. White for the staff presentation.
Thank you, Andy. This is a conditional use permit application for 3 dispersed campsites at 36 Mountain Ridge Lane in Chelan. The application was recently updated because of approval from the health district saying that in lieu of requiring septic and water to be connected to each campsite, that they were fine with porta potties being located at each campsite, and then the renters would have to put in their own potable water. The subject property is within the rural residential resource 10, our 10 zoning district, and minor campgrounds are allowed through a conditional use permit. For this project, the subsequent conversations that I have with the fire marshals yesterday, one additional condition of approval that they did say they were good with was the requirement of having a fire extinguisher located at each site as well. So as far as other conditions of approval that I've recommended for this permit, a building permit would be required for each tent platform, lighting, a sign about the campsites, and then the addressing would need to be placed at the proposed driveway entrance into the parking lot. The applicant would need to obtain a permit, an approach permit from Public Works. No wood fires would be allowed at any of the campsites. Because of their commercial use, I did add some of the conditions that are typically required of vacation rentals, such as having a site plan available to all renters, delineating the property boundaries to specify that there shall be no trespassing on adjacent private properties. In addition, the applicant would need to provide a property management plan, good neighbor guidelines, and the fire protection plan at each campsite. And some of these have been suggested as conditions of approval because there is concern that the applicant may choose not to enforce provisions of the approved CUP. And due to historic code enforcement violations on these properties, staff would also like to have some sort of remedy on the conditional use permit that would allow for potential cancellation of the conditional use permit if repeated violations were to found occurring. Prior to using any of the campsites, the applicant would have to submit compliance letters from Public Works and the Building Department. And then one of this was a difficult project because it is an allowed use in the RR10 zoning district. However, the proposed use of the property as commercial use for these dispersed campsites is definitely conflicting with the surrounding neighborhood or surrounding properties that are residential in use. And just looking at a vicinity map, there's no active recreational activities located nearby. There's no hiking trails. There's no other recreational activities for users of this campsite to do other than just to use it as a campsite. But staff has reviewed the application materials, the agency comments for consistency with applicable codes, the public comments that I have received, and as conditioned, recommends approval of conditional use permit 21-291.
All right, thank you very much, Mr. White. Is the applicant here today? The applicant is here. Could you please unmute yourself and identify yourself?
I thought I saw one on the... Jennifer Reiner.
Well, it can happen that there are...
There's Jennifer Reiner. I don't know if she's related to the applicant. We're asking to unmute herself.
I don't.
I'm not related to the applicant. I'm related to Jason Reiner, who put in, there's a Reimer and Reiner.
Yeah.
My confusion there, sorry.
We're part of the neighboring property.
Okay, never mind that.
Thank you.
I do not see the applicant available. And he has been notified, but is not on the call.
All right. I would note for the record that the applicant has been given notice of the date, time, and manner of this hearing. For whatever reason, is not present. It might be a technological issue. It might be some other issue, but we will move on. So I'm going to go through the list of people here in the order that I have them on my Zoom list. If you want to testify, just unmute yourself. If you don't want to testify, you can unmute yourself and tell me you don't want to testify, or we can, or I'll just move on if you don't say anything. So we'll start with Mr. Fallon. Did you wish to provide any testimony on this matter?
No, sir.
Thank you. Cindy, I assume you would like to present testimony. Did you want to provide any testimony, Cindy?
No, I do not.
Okay, we have your written comments. Somebody just identified as iPhone. Did you wish to provide any testimony? Okay, hearing none. Jennifer Reiner, did you wish to provide any testimony?
I do.
All right, I'll have you state your full name for the record, and then I'll put you under oath.
Should be on with your name.
Jennifer Reiner, R-E-I-N-E-R.
All right, thank you. And what's an address for you?
My address that I live at, I'm attached to the property that is at 562 Chelan Ranch Road.
Okay, yeah, we just need to have an address so that we can send you a document if you need to be sent a document. So. And so I'm going to have you raise your right hand for me. I'll assume that you have it up. Do you swear or affirm under penalty of perjury that any testimony you give today will be the truth?
I do.
All right. Thank you. And what would you like to tell me?
So I'm attached to the property, that adjacent property. And I know there'll be some others that want to speak to some items, but I do want to note some issues that we had with the availability of the staff report and the timing of that. My brother, Jason Reiner, who did provide written detail but had to do it quite quickly, had been asking for the staff report, and until he again asked Mr. White for that on Monday, he had not received it, even though he'd been making multiple attempts to get it, and it was not posted on the website to have any ability to meet the code for the timeline to give Jason neighbors or anyone interested the time to review and respond. So I realize it's been an ongoing hearing, but for this current staff report with updated information. So I just want to make sure that gets on the record so that that I feel that was not in compliance. And unless there's an updated staff report, there are several errors in here on dates that probably need to be corrected too. In regards to some people's testimony that would have been in October of 22, which is really 21. So more speaking to some of the concerns I have with the staff report and its factualness or cleanliness, I guess. And I'll let others speak to other concerns they have in the area.
Yeah, if there's something that's wrong in the staff report, you can certainly identify that. If you're going to critique spelling and punctuation, that's not going to be helpful to me.
No, it's dates. It's specific dates. The dates that are in the, if you go to, you go to page 5 of 15, it does indicate that Del Scholl and Megan and Jeffrey Benson provided response dates of October 13th and October 6th of 2022. That could not have happened at this point. There's at least one other location where 22 has been noted as 20 and when it should have been 21. Just gives me concern that there may be other things that in here that are potentially incorrect. So that's all I have for right now.
Thank you very much. We will move down now. Who have I called? Jeremy Andrist. Did you want to provide testimony on this matter?
I do.
All right, sir, I'll have you state your name and an address for the record.
Jeremy Andrist, the property owner at 139 Mountain Ridge Lane. You need my mailing address?
That's the address that we, in case we need to send you something, that would be nice.
8022 38th Place Southeast, Snohomish, Washington, 98290.
All right, thank you very much. Would you raise your right hand for me? Do you swear or affirm under penalty of perjury that any testimony you give today will be the truth? All right, thank you. You need to unmute yourself again, and then we'll get started.
Okay, you can hear me?
Yep, what would you like to tell me?
So I know several others on this phone call have more history here. I purchased this property back in December of last year. I have some concerns. I think this is being misrepresented as a camping site. Everything I've been seeing since I've been making trips over there, this platform and the one yurt that's currently up has been up over a year. We should call it what it is. These are short-term rentals. This is just being misrepresented as a campground. And that falls into these being zoned as R10. Campgrounds don't really fit with what everybody's doing up on that hill. We were all single family dwellings up there. Okay. I have concerns around fire danger for the fact that there's no water up there in case there was a fire. I have concerns around the health and safety of human waste from these renters. If we're relying on them to pack out their own waste and garbage, who's gonna see that that happens? My concern be it that there's already a dwelling, multiple outbuildings on this piece of property. They're dilapidated, there's inopt cars, there's piles of trash. So I have a hard time understanding how I'm supposed to trust my neighbor that he's just gonna allow people to camp on his property and pack out their own waste. I also think that the road impacts are understated. Several of us on this call have been exchanging email trying to figure out how we can improve our roads up there. So I believe it's basically a single lane road. So if these are short-term rentals, and we have to make provisions for getting emergency equipment up there, it's not sufficient right now. So, like I said, I just feel all along that these are being misrepresented.
All right. Thank you very much for coming this afternoon. I appreciate it.
Yeah, really, you're welcome. Thank you.
You're welcome. Going to my list. Carl Bloom, I don't know how you worked yourself back up to the top, but you're there. Would you like to provide any testimony today?
No, thank you. I'm waiting for the next item.
All right, thank you very much. Mr. and Mrs. Brenton, did you want to provide testimony on this matter?
Yes.
All right, who wants to testify?
I will, John.
All right. You state your name and an address for me, please.
John Brenton, 272 Mountain Ridge Lane, Chelan.
All right, sir, please raise your right hand for me. And do you swear or affirm under penalty of perjury that any testimony you give today will be the truth?
Yes.
All right, thank you very much. Sir, what would you like to tell me?
Yeah, so basically, I just want to say that we are in opposition to this proposed development for many of the reasons that were stated prior by Jeremy, but primarily for us, our property is to the east of the proposed development, and we're uphill. And geographically, this entire area up here is tall, dry grass. And so our primary concern is fire danger, in that the if a fire got started, it's going to come racing up the hill in short order. And we've already experienced that once from the property right below us, Mr. Reamer's property, and burned half of our property in that fire. So, and then everything that Jeremy stated, the impact of the road and with temporary visitors, and there's supposed to be a road agreement. And if he was to maybe say that he would take care of or grade or maintain the road, it might be something to consider. But in any case, that's basically all I got.
Well, thank you very much. Ms. Brenton, did you want to provide any testimony as well?
No, I'm good. Right.
Okay, thank you very much. Let me finish my notes here. And we'll move, once again, somebody's jumped up to the front. I don't know how you did that. Marcus Smith, would you like to testify on this matter?
No, thank you.
All right, thank you. We'll move on down here. Ms. Sorensen, did you want to testify on this matter?
No, thank you.
All right, thank you very much. Kathy's iPhone, did you want to provide testimony on this matter?
No.
All right, thank you very much. Mr. Spohn, did you want to provide testimony on this matter?
I do not, thank you.
All right, thank you. Mr. Cagle, did you want to provide testimony on this matter?
No, sir.
All right, thank you very much. Ms. Romig, did you want to provide testimony on this matter?
No, sir. Thank you. All
right, thank you. Mr. Smith, did you want to provide testimony on this matter? Marcus Smith? Okay, we'll move on. Pixel 5, Mr. Smith, you've unmuted yourself. Did you want to provide testimony?
You polled me a moment ago and I declined. Thank you.
Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you. Pixel 5, did you want to provide any testimony on this matter? Okay, we'll move on. The Wenches, did you want to provide testimony on this matter?
No, thanks.
Okay. Zoom user, did you want to provide testimony on this matter? I was going on Zoom user right now. Did Zoom user wish to provide any testimony in this matter? All right, we'll go up to the top. Mark R, did you want to provide testimony on this matter?
I believe Mark R is the applicant.
All right, is that correct?
Yes. I don't think they could hear that.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'm sorry you weren't here on a timely basis. We've gone through all the public testimony now. I'm sorry, Wenches, we'll come back to you now.
This is Paul Rachey. I'm on the list.
I don't see a Paul Rachey on the list.
But he's one of the commenters on the application.
All right. So we're jumping back now. Is there somebody that wants to testify on behalf of the applicant now, after we've gone through most of the public testimony?
Did you want to testify on the applicant?
Did anybody want to testify on behalf of the applicant today? Otherwise, I'm going to continue to move along.
Who's speaking?
It sounds like
It's still Mark Arv. I don't know if he's talking to the phone or if he's talking to someone else.
I don't know either. I'm going to ask one last time. Did anybody here want to testify on behalf of the applicant? If so, please state so. Mark R., do you want to speak on behalf of the applicant at the hearing?
Not this time.
All right, thank you. So now we will continue to move on. Okay, make sure I know where I was here. I think I was at Wench's iPad. Did anybody from Wench's iPad want to testify?
Yes.
All right, so I'll have you state your name and address for me, please.
Paul Rachey, 34 Perdaman Gulch Road, Chelan, 98816.
How do you spell your last name, sir?
R-A-C-H-E-Y.
All right, thank you very much. We'll have you raise your right hand for me. And do you swear or affirm under penalty of perjury that any testimony you give today will be the truth?
I do.
All right, thank you. Mr. Rachey, what would you like to tell me?
May I ask if the hearing examiner has a copy of the letter drafted by our attorney, Thomas O'Connell, dated November 1st of 2021?
I recall seeing that. I don't really want to go through time looking for this right now. But I have your email comment. Two email comments from you.
Andy, it should be a packet, or it should be a one that I think that's not an email, it's a packet that's dated January 17th of 2022.
Okay, I have that, and it includes a letter from Mr. O'Connell. So yes, I do have that.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, I sent that packet by certified mail on in January and never did get a return receipt. So I just want to make sure you have it. So anyway, Mr. O'Connell's legal analysis for us cites RCW 11.93.047, which states that adequate provisions must be provided for, amongst other things, fire prevention. Does this not come into play on this issue for some reason?
This is a time for you to provide your testimony and evidence as to why the project does or does not comply with the applicable rules and regulations. I'm sorry to be, you know, direct about this, but it's not a question and answer period. So
okay, fine. Yeah, I just wanted to make sure that that was part of the record. As Alex White stated, this applicant is a chronic violator of county codes and regulations on the property. They began renting the site in violation of the county code in June of last year. And that was the first tent site, June of 2021, without a permit to do so. And they didn't stop until given a notice of violation under the threat of a daily fine in July of 2021. The two residences on this applicant property are strewn with derelict vehicles, garbage, trash, and junk. May I ask if the fire marshal isn't in attendance, as I was told he would be by Alex White?
He was not able to make today's meeting, but I did speak to him with some additional. He said with the conditions of approval that were proposed, which include the addressing, the fire extinguishers, and the fire protection plan that it met fire requirements and no additional fire flow requirements were needed because no wood fires would be allowed.
Okay, thank you. There are eight neighbors that I know of with property close to or adjoining this area where the permit is being applied for. All of our properties are east, northeast, and north of the proposed tent sites. With the prevailing winds in our area, typically from the south to the west, each of our properties are in danger of being in the path of a wildfire when one starts. And one will start there, regardless of what precautions the applicant says he might be making, without adequate water or no water at all to fight a fire. I feel like the county has a responsibility and a potential liability issue with this permit application and should deny this permit application.
All right. Thank you very much, Mr. Raichi, for coming in today. Did you want to testify, ma'am?
Yes, I do.
And your name, please.
My name is Gail Ann Mulver. My address is 627 Chelan Ranch Road, Chelan.
So it's Gail, middle, Ann.
Gail Ann, G-A-I-L-A-N-N-E, all one word.
And what's your last name, please?
Mulver, M-O-L, V as in Victor, E-R.
All right. Give us our address. Would you raise your right hand for me? Do you swear or affirm under penalty of perjury that any testimony you give today will be the truth?
I do.
All right, thank you. And what would you like to tell me about this?
There are some statements on your staff report that are slightly erroneous, and I just wanted to make sure that those go on record. Several times it's stated that Chelan Butte Road is the location, and it is actually Chelan Ranch Road.
Okay. Anything else you'd like to add?
Yes, I would also like to submit that fire is one of our main concerns up here. These hillsides where these nightly rental tents are going to be and are currently is just tall, dry grass and sagebrush, which, as we all know, are kind of like a torch. There are going to be gas barbecues and gas fireplaces provided for these. And whether it's wood source or not, gas fire still ignites dry, tinder dry grass and sagebrush. These people who are paying $189 or whatever a night are not from this area, and they don't know anything about fire. They're usually from the wet side. They're not aware of what it's going to take to start a fire or what it's going to take to fight a fire. And they can just throw their little backpacks in their Subaru and drive away while the neighbors are left to deal with the whole fallout. We are all very aware of fire and spend a lot of time and energy doing fire prevention on our properties. And this guy gets to just come along and put up a bunch of tents and not do anything. Nobody can pack in enough water to a tent to fight a fire up here. There is private property all around these tent sites. The road itself is private. The tenter company who are the ones putting up these tents and marketing them promote these gas barbecues and gas fireplaces, and that you can take nature walks from your tent site. They've already been trespassing on adjacent private properties with their dogs and their backpacks and whatever, and other landowners have had to confront them. I am a widow. I live alone. I don't want to have to confront people from who knows where, multiple people from who knows where, in my neighborhood, up my private road, on my private property. The Reimers have exhibited and appear to be scofflaws when it comes to having the permits required to do what they're trying to do. They did rent all last summer, most of the summer, in violation, even after they were contacted by Alex White and the code enforcement people and whoever. They kept renting to people, and Ballface lied to me personally and said, oh, these are our family and friends. For these reasons and many others, I beseech you to deny this campground in our rural, private neighborhood, rural residences, single family residences on a private road. Thank you.
All right, thank you very much. Is there anybody else who wishes to offer any testimony from that particular iPad? Doesn't look like it. All right, we'll go back to Zoom user. Did Zoom user wish to provide any testimony on this matter? All right, nothing from Zoom user. Does phone number ending in 5988, did you wish to provide any testimony in this matter? All right, hearing none, is there anybody that I missed that wishes to provide public testimony on this matter? We'll just make sure I didn't miss anybody. And is there anything further from staff?
One additional thing just to have on the record. So this property is in an act of code enforcement due to the use of it as a private campsite without the appropriate permits. And the applicant is using the conditional use permit process to remedy this code enforcement. However, I will note that there have been other code enforcement complaints that have been issued against this property in the past, but they have since then been resolved and closed out.
Okay, thank you very much. All right, as I indicated at the beginning of the hearing, the applicant does get the last opportunity to present any testimony and evidence. Did the applicant wish to provide any rebuttal testimony today? One last chance. If the applicant wants to submit rebuttal testimony, you need to unmute yourself at this time. Did you wish to provide any?
I think I'm good. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. With that, then, I'm going to close the public record portion of this hearing, and I will have a written decision made within the next 10 working days. Appreciate everybody coming out on this matter. It was very, very helpful to the hearing examiner. We'll turn to the last item on today's agenda. This is a variance application given application number VAR 22-051. This is an application submitted for a variance to reduce required front and rear setbacks for property located within Chelan County that is more specifically described in the staff report as well as in all the application materials. Now, for the record, I will admit into the record that staff report, all the attachments to the staff report, which included all the application materials, site plan drawings, plat map, noticing documents, agency comments that have come through, public comments that have come through, noticing documents, I'll admit all those items. Indeed, I will admit the entire planning staff file into the record at this time by this reference. And I will turn this matter over to Mr. White for the staff presentation.
Thank you, Andy. So variance 22-051 is an application to vary the setback from the required 25-foot building setback from the front line of the property to 15 feet, and then vary the required 20-foot building setback from the rear of the property to 5 feet in order to create a building envelope for a future single family residence. The subject property is within the commercial agricultural zoning district and currently vacant. The surrounding properties are all zoned rural waterfront, and except for the properties that are across the Wapato Lake Road, those are also zoned commercial agriculture. The applicant is requesting a variance due to the small size of the property, which is approximately 8,700 square feet. And according to the site plan of record, by reducing the front yard and the rear setbacks, the applicant would have a building envelope approximately 54 feet by 72 feet, which is approximately 3,888 square feet on the subject property to construct a residence. Without the variance, the building envelope would be approximately 29 feet by 72 feet, or about 2,088 square feet. The proposed use is similar to other uses on neighboring properties. Neighboring properties do have single family residences on them. The subject property was not included in the Wapato Lake Estates that was platted in 2010, but is surrounded by homeowners within this development. The lot encumbrances that existed at the time the applicant acquired the property, however, the lot was legally created as a residential lot prior to the adoption of the county's zoning codes. The access to the property would be from Wapato Lake Road. Public Works has no objection to the variance, but would require the applicant to record a hold harmless agreement. No agency comments were received that objected to the proposed variance. However, there were several public comments from nearby neighbors, the Wapato Lake Estates HOA and the Manson Community Council, that do object to the proposed variance. Staff has reviewed the application materials, the comments, and as conditioned, recommends varying the required 25 feet of the front building setback to 15 feet and required 20 feet from the rear property line to 5 feet.
All right, thank you very much. Is the applicant ready to proceed? Is the applicant here?
I think he's on iPhone. Is iPhone Mr. Mughal?
I don't know that. Is the applicant here? If so, unmute yourself. If not, we're going to move on to the public testimony.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
Have you state your name and your address, and then I'm going to swear you in under oath.
Okay, Scott Mulhall, M-U-L-H-A-L-L, 1700 Canyon Crest Drive, Wenatchee.
Okay, and would you please raise your right hand for me? I trust you that you have it up. And do you swear or affirm under penalty of perjury that any testimony you give today will be the truth?
I do.
All right, thank you. As I indicated at the beginning, my opening remarks, applicants do have the burden of proof to show compliance with all applicable rules and regulations. So with that, what would you like to tell me about this request?
Well, it's a very uniquely shaped lot, as you can see on the plot plan. It's a parallelogram. So to develop any single family home on that really restricts you to like a 15 foot by 40 foot footprint once you take away the right angles on this parallelogram. So without the variance, it basically becomes almost an unbuildable lot.
Well, you use the word almost. So it can be built on, but just not the way you want to build on it? Or
It'll basically equal the size of a single wide mobile home. It's all that's left. That was approved on there originally before I bought it. And that's about the size if you could put on there. So a non-usable structure, you know, 15 feet deep.
Okay.
So, yeah, basically it's an unbuildable footprint to make anything work on that piece of property. And that's all I have to say.
What's more important to you, the front yard setback or the rear yard setback?
Probably the rear yard, I would say, because I'm in that ag industry area, so it's a 100-foot setback unless I get the ag waiver release form from Fred Miller. They're both very critical to get a very large structure on there. Well, it's still going to be a small single-family home. It won't be very large, but if he had to choose, I would say the backyard setback.
Is the one that you need or don't need?
I do need, yeah.
So staff has indicated there's approximately a 2,000 square foot building envelope without the need for a variance. I understand your position is that it would look like a mobile home. But why would a 2,000 square foot or even doubling that if you have a second story be an unreasonable size residence for this property?
It's the uniqueness of the property. Did you see all the angles on the corners? Correct?
Yeah, I'm looking at it. Yep.
Yeah. So if you need to parallel the frontage road, which is Lake Wapato Road, to parallel the house on, you're going to have a 5-foot corner on one side, and then the other side will be like a 25-foot setback because the house will parallel Wapato Point Road, which a lot does not. It's uniquely angled. But from my understanding, when I did the 100-foot setback and the 30-foot off that backyard, I'm only left with a 15-foot wide structure. And out of that 15-foot wide, the length of it, it's on the septic system. So I have to give up 30 feet to the west for my septic system. And so once you take all those into account, it leaves you just this. I've got about a 13 by 40 foot envelope left once you take away all the setbacks and restrictions.
All right. Anything else you'd like to add?
No, I think that's it, Andy.
All right. Thank you very much, Mr. Mulhall.
Thank you.
We'll turn to the public now. I know that there are people here from the public that I assume would like to testify. We'll go, Mr. Fallon, we'll start with you. Did you want to provide any testimony on this matter?
No, sir.
All right, thanks for coming today, though. Mr. Bloom, did you want to provide testimony on this matter?
Yes, sir, I did. Carl Blum, 15 Helios Hills Lane.
Sorry for mispronouncing your name, but is it B-L-U-M?
Yes, sir.
All right, sir, would you raise your right hand for me? And do you swear or affirm under penalty of perjury that any testimony you give today will be the truth?
I do.
All right, thank you. And what would you like to tell me?
I have two brief comments. One is, if the variance is granted as requested, it leaves essentially no room for a septic system except for one small corner. A drain field line has to be 5 feet off of a property line and 15 or 10 feet from a building. And the septic tanks must be 5 feet from both the property line and a building. So if you look at the diagram, you'll see that there might be one small area that it could go. And we don't know even if that would perk or test properly. So I would say that granting the variance is getting ahead of the game when we don't even know if a septic system could go in there. The second point I have to make is that I understand that a agriculture AC zone maximum footprint of a building is 35% of the property. And this is obviously would be much more than that. So I guess I question how this could go in at all. And that's all I have. Thank you very much, Mr. Cottingham.
All right. Thank you very much for coming in today. I appreciate that. Let's see here. Pixel 5, did you want to provide testimony today?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Can you state a name and an address for me?
My name is Chris Barris. That's B as in boy, E-R-E-S. And we live at 80 Fisherman's Place. So we are lot 8, and we would butt right up to that rear setback that you were just talking about. And yes, the most important.
Let's put you under oath before you start testifying, okay? Do you swear or affirm under penalty of perjury that any testimony you give today will be the truth?
I do.
All right, now, what would you like to tell me?
Well, when we bought this property about 4 years ago, we ended up shopping around and we hired Scott Mulhall to build our house. And, you know, we're completely uninformed. We didn't know the relationship. Apparently, Scott is the brother-in-law of Gunnar Ilhudsman. I probably didn't say his last name correctly. But Gunnar's the one pulling the strings on this property. He's the one pressing all the buttons. And Scott built my house. He's a good contractor. He did a fine job here during tough times, which was the pandemic and everything. And Scott, I'm shocked. You know, this is a bad deal for
you. You need to testify to me and not to direct your testimony to any person.
Okay. He knows this is not a good deal for me and my wife. This property sits higher. They would be looking down. We would lose privacy. We'd lose our view. We'd probably lose value. I don't know, but it's just a bad deal all the way around for us. I was walking around on that lot just yesterday with my neighbor, and the one property line that we're interested in, their rear property line, which is the same as our lot ending at that spot, you can't find any stakes or anything. Somebody's been back there pulling stuff up, but it's going to have to be resurveyed in the least. And I offered to buy this property way back in the beginning, and Scott in the beginning said maybe, and then it was not really giving me an answer until about 7-8 months ago. He said, you need to go talk to Gunnar. So Gunnar's the guy pulling the strings on this property. It's not Scott. Scott is his business partner, brother-in-law, and he builds houses, and that's what he does for a living. And I just don't like the fact that Gunnar hasn't been truthful with us. He hasn't been truthful with Wapato Estates in general. And I guess legally, my biggest problem would be with fire prevention. And how do they access? We know they can get to it from Lake Wapato Road, the main road out front. But the cul-de-sac road that we get to our property with, we own property before you get to that property line. So they are cut off from the back end of that property from accessing it. And so that would be my main concern, is fire prevention and access to that lot. And it's too small to build on. I don't know what, I know Scott builds homes, but Gunnar is the silent partner in the background. He didn't put his name on anything. And so he's the one that needs to answer to this. And they could have sold that piece to me or one of my neighbors, and none of us would be in this predicament right now. But because they want to put some kind of a structure on there, there goes our privacy and our view and everything else. So I didn't know they were going to do this until they filed this variance. And that's the problem I have. Nobody's told me the truth from day one about this lot. So that's all I got to say.
Thank you very much for coming in today. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
We are to, I'm not sure where I've stopped at here. Cindy, I forget if I called on you already. Did you wish to provide testimony?
I do not, thank you.
All right, thank you very much. Ms. Sorensen, did you want to provide testimony?
Not at this time, thanks.
All right, thank you very much for coming today. I don't know where I am. Kathy's iPhone, did you want to provide testimony today?
Yes, I would, sir.
All right, could you state your name for me for the record?
Kathleen Blum, 15 Helios Hills Lane, Manson, Washington.
Okay, I'll have you raise your right hand for me. And do you swear or affirm under penalty of perjury that any testimony you give today will be the truth?
Yes, I do, sir.
Thank you. And what would you like to tell me?
I'm representing the Manson Community Council on this. We understand in the county that the county has codes, and they are for a reason. But probably very few people, when buying land, take the time to read and understand them. Variances are also a code to help people use their property, but a variance is not a given. They are an exception to the code and have to go before you, the hearing examiner, or whoever is currently at that time doing the review, so that it can be looked at as how it impacts not just the property owner, but the areas around them. As in this case with variance 2022-051, it should be looked at as how it impacts both the neighbors, the whole neighborhood area, and all the surrounding property owners. Under page 3 of the staff report, under visual impact, under project designs, visual impact, similar to other residences, the proposed residence would not be placed on a property, would be placed on a property similar to others. I don't understand when the average lot size in Wapato Lake Estates is approximately 0.70, how a 0.2 acre piece of property that has more than a third of it covered in high outcropped rocks, totally unusable, except for the rattlesnakes that neighbors kill on it every year, would be similar to a building structure in Wapato State Estates. All the property edges were nearest the road in Wapato Estates on the other side of the right-of-way all go to the road. This particular piece didn't get sold when this property was developed because there was a caretaker living in a single wide mobile home on it. And that time they did not sell. When it finally did come up for sale, the owner and developer of Wapato State Estates did buy this piece of property. He had ownership of the property when he developed the lots surrounding this piece of property. And for whatever reason, and obviously his personal choice, did not add it to these piece of properties like he did the other 10 lots in Wapato Estates. So we ended up with this little wedge. And when they became rural waterfront, because somebody else was living on it, this remained AC. How a 0.2 acre can be considered AC makes no sense to me either. But Chelan County's planning department has some homework to do, nothing to do, house cleaning to do, nothing to do with this particular application though. The, let's see if I can get this right, because I've made a lot of notes. So this home would be 25 feet or 15 feet off of the wide side of the road. The average home in here is over 70 feet off of Wapato Lake Road. And if you were to travel on, and you can do it by GIS on the computer, from the start of Wapato Lake Road to the end of Wapato Lake Road, there is no parcel anywhere down there of that size, nor is there any building structure as close as what this structure, these people are asking to put a structure at. It doesn't fit the area. And this is not an example of what Manson wants to see happen on our rural and country roads out there with all these variances. It doesn't belong here. And it will impact the homeowners, their view. This house sits high, like you said, without a variance, they could build high. And it would literally tower over all these homes that aren't, that is in front of them. I think that this needs to be declined on the impact surrounding the entire area and all the overall negative impact it will have. It sets a precedence of houses too close to a main connector road in Manson. I think that's all I have. Thank you, sir.
All right. Thank you very much for coming today.
Thank you.
Kristen Romberg, did you want to provide testimony today?
And no, thank you. Thank you, sir.
All right. Thank you for coming. Mr. Cagle, did you want to provide testimony on this matter?
Yes, please.
All right. Would you state your name for the record and spell your last just to make sure I get it right?
Sure. William Cagle, C-A-G-L-E. It's misspelled in your documents. 92 Fisherman Place, Manson, Washington, 98816.
All right. So C-A. It's with a C, C-A-G-L-E?
Correct.
All right. Would you raise your right hand for me, sir? And do you swear or affirm under penalty of perjury that any testimony you give today will be the truth?
Sure, absolutely.
Thank you very much. And sir, what would you like to tell me?
Okay, I'm otherwise known as rear setback, adjoining Mr. Mulhall's property. And in fact, Mr. Mulhall built my house that I'm living in. I wouldn't be paying any attention to this other than the fact that a variance was requested. And I worry that it encroaches more closely on my home. I'm not too familiar with criteria for granting variances, but I looked at the codes regarding that and the staff report, and I have comments about two of those. The first one is the variance 1A, preservation of property right, the same as owners of other property. You've covered some of this today where staff concludes that the building would be 2,000 square feet envelope, and with the variance it nearly doubles in size. I would say that our home occupies 6% of our acreage, and the new home is going to occupy 24% of the acreage, and with the variance, almost half of the acreage. And so relative to the lot size, their home has a footprint nearly eight times larger than ours. To me, this constitutes a special privilege because of the apparent density of the development. It's unlike all the adjoining properties here. And as Kathy mentioned, over a large radius from our property, there are no other homes on such small lots. With regard to variance 3B, be substantially based on a claim that the proposed structure is too small. As it is, at least according to the staff report and not based on what Mr. Mulhall added regarding the restrictions that he sees he's dealing with, but based on the staff report, the variance suggests that without a variance, the home would be similar to my home, which Scott built. And so the request to have an even larger home on this on that lot seems to be based more on economic return. The staff conclusion that this request appears to be a reasonable use of property in a way similar to properties in the community ignores our own home footprint and the seeming density based on the size of the property, the structure relative to the property. And it doesn't appear similar to properties in the community. Other than that, I have respected Mr. Mulhall's work, and I want to make sure that the staff and you pay attention to the codes and the reasons for the variances. And I think this really changes the footprint of the buildings that we have in this area.
All right. Thank you very much, Mr. Kagan.
That's it.
Telephone number ending in 5988. Did you wish to provide any testimony today? All right. And I don't know. Oh, yeah. I don't know if I, Ms. Sorensen, did you now want to provide testimony?
Yes, I do.
Can you state your name and address for the record?
Carrie Sorensen, 34 Ford Street, Manson, Washington.
All right, I'll have you raise your right hand. Do you swear or affirm under penalty of perjury that any testimony you give today will be the truth?
I do.
Thank you. What would you like to tell me?
You know, when the owners were perfectly aware of the limitations of this lot when they purchased it, so to now attempt to encroach on their neighbors for their own financial gain is to and to devalue their properties is really unacceptable. And it's not that they're looking to, you know, this is their one chance to have a nice little single family home for themselves, and this is their one opportunity. It's not. And I really am opposed to, you know, just the difference in size. I mean, if you took a look at it, it's, I don't know if you even have any pictures of this lot, but just the way that it lays, but, you know, and the thing is, you know, Mr. Barris didn't mention it, but he had was actually under the impression he was purchasing the property and had money in hand to do it. So, and the thing is, the developer had every chance to include that acreage in the other lots that were subdivided out at the time. So, you know, and I'm also speaking for Manson Community Council, and we are really opposed to it for these reasons. You know, there was no surprises, and they knew what they were getting themselves into, and to now ask for a variance, you know, to the demise of their neighbors, I believe is wrong. And that's what I have to say about that.
All right, thank you very much. I think the only person I might have missed was Cindy. Cindy, did you want to provide testimony tonight, today?
No, you asked me.
All right, promise I won't ask you again.
Okay, thank you.
All right, if there was any member of the public that I missed, this is now your opportunity to unmute yourself and provide testimony. All right, not hearing any. Anything further from staff?
A couple things. So in my calculations on the lot percentage that could be built on, I did not account for the egg setbacks nor any of the septic requirements, as those are usually building permit specific and weren't considered as part of this application. Also, the easement, the fisherman place, this easement does not touch the subject property, but is actually separate from the subject property by about 5 feet of a strip of land there, you know, according to the measurements I took off of the plat, the Lake of Wapato Estates plat. And then also to note that the zoning, the AC zoning was in place for this property at the time of the adoption of the county code in 1999 as part of the compliance with the Growth Management Act. And then lastly, the approval of this, or if this variance is approved, it does not in any way mean that it becomes a buildable lot. Mr. Mulhall would still have to go through the building permit process and demonstrate that there is subsequent availability for septic and water and all the other requirements of the building permit process.
All right, thank you very much, Mr. White. Anything further from the applicant?
Not at this time.
All right, thank you very much, Mr. Mulhall. With that then, what I'm gonna do is I am gonna close the public record portion of this hearing. As with the other items, I will have a written decision made, but that decision will be made within the next 10 working days. It will not be made orally at this time. There are no other items on today's agenda, so I'm now going to adjourn this May 18, 2022 meeting of the Chelan County Hearing Examiner. I do appreciate everybody coming out today. Your involvement and your testimony and your factual testimony was very important to be received by the Hearing Examiner. I appreciate you coming out today. With that, this meeting is adjourned. Everybody have a good day.